The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
This episode gonna be a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.
Shut up, you fuck.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your fishing master, as always, Tony. Joined with me today is...
I'm Rob.
And...
Friggin' Joe.
And we're chock full of fun and excitement here
and the 4 a.m.
podcast.
Chock empty of Brian.
Yeah. So we are sadly down to Brian.
You piece of crap. Brian, really gonna.
You should celebrate the fact you did not have to watch this.
Yeah, we're gonna have to talk about your attendance when you get back. Yeah.
I don't know why he should be happy he missed this, because this was apparently a movie so good, quote unquote, even the fish are laughing. We did Gone Fishing from 1997.
There were no fish.
Even the fish. Oh,
wait, there were some dead fish.
There were some dead fish in the beginning. Fish, yeah. They never actually caught any fish.
No.
There was a puppet alligator.
They blew up more power plants than they caught fish.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Let's do that.
All right.
Let's get there.
Well, yeah. This movie is directed by Christopher Kane, Dean Kane's father. So... obviously, he makes good quality stuff. His track record is interesting, to say the least. He brought us The Principal, Young Guns, The Next Karate Kid, and The Amazing Panda Adventure before bringing us Gone Fishing. Since then, he's brought us PC and the Web, September Dawn, Pure Country 2, The Gift, and a bunch of other things I can only assume are directed DVD.
Those sound like Lifetime movies.
This is my point.
Yeah.
I only know September Dawn, which has our old buddy John Voight in it.
That sounds like softcore porn.
No, it's John Voight
and
Terrence.
Involved.
No, John Voight and Terrence Stamp. Like I
softcore
think in the
cowboy
old West.
Porn.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There you
go. Yeah.
You
know, just a bunch driving of, cattle and discovering their sexuality.
Yep, just a bunch of gay cowboys eating pudding.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh. So, what is your personal history with this movie, guys? Start with you, Rob.
You're listening to it. This is it. This is all I know.
All right, Joe.
I saw a commercial for this movie once, and even then, I was like, why is that a thing? Who wants that? And then I forgot about it till this podcast.
All right, so I'm guessing Brian was the only one that knows anything about this besides me, but I had seen this once before, and not since, for good reason.
You've seen this before?
I have seen this before.
Okay.
This was, this is a movie that's been in my past.
Let me ask you a question, Tony. Yes. Do you know who wrote this movie?
I do know one of the writing credits on this movie.
Yeah.
Would you like to enlighten Rob?
Joe Pesci's dog.
No.
If Joe Pesci's dog is named J.J. Abrams.
Oh.
He's credited as something different, but it did point out it was J.J. Abrams.
So he changed his name after this?
Yes. This and taking care of business, and he was like, I got to change my name. I'm going to start over.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, he is not the only writing credit to this. And
oh, I knew that. I knew there could not be just one pair of hands on this typewriter of madness.
Yeah, and judging the list of films made by the other writer, I'm putting most of the blame on them.
Okay.
No, this is clearly one of those scenarios where they broke up the scenes and wrote them separately.
Yeah. But there's a few things in this that really, like... the movie itself aggravates me, but what keeps getting me more than anything else is this came out in 1997.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
That this was after Home Alone and
Dumb
Goodfellas.
And Dumber.
Lethal Weapons.
This came out the same year as Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah.
We should not be still making this garbage to the point in a post-Jurassic Park world.
Danny Glover had already killed a predator at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, All right, so let's get into a brief history of this movie. Since you brought up the J.J. Abrams thing, director John Edvildsen, I'm probably saying that wrong, but the director who brought us Karate Kid was originally directing this movie, but he was fired after the first 2 weeks to bring in the guy who brought us the next Karate Kid. So good move there, guys.
Sure.
John Candy and Rick Moranis were originally attached to be the leads, but John Candy passed away. Rick Moranis retired.
John Candy took the easy way out.
You know what, though? If it were the two of them, this might have had more of a chance.
It might have been redeemable.
At least. I was thinking about that numerous times throughout. But
is John Candy and Rick Moranis just sitting in a boat?
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Also, I feel they would play more lovable dumb guys than just stunted adult children.
Yeah, it would be more like... I don't know what to call them. Yeah.
Basically just man children. Yeah.
Man children's the best, I think we're going to say here.
Yeah, it'd be closer to like the great outdoors and something like that rather than just... We are going to, you know what? And usually it's just me. We are all going to have a hard time describing this movie.
Yeah.
Without being insensitive towards mentally challenged people
and numerous other people, I'm sure. But yeah, another possible pairing that we had for this was John Travolta and Steve Martin. Try and picture that one.
Not as good, but I could still work with it.
I can't even imagine.
No, I mean, you could do the one where like Travolta's the guy that cares too much about his job or something and needs to get away for a weekend.
Dude, now I'm just picturing John Travolta and was Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, well, yeah, yes. If it was Turl and Kerr on a boat.
Turl and Kerr going fishing? Yeah. I am totally down.
Did you guys watch Battlefield Earth? This is basically the same thing.
Fucking, because they lose the oars right away. It'd just be like a drift in the lake.
Borderline living!
Just shooting the fins off a fish and looking for gold.
Where should we put our acting at? A borderline living! side note, comedian and author Joe Quinn, I don't know, I'm terrible with names, but whatever, he's a funny man who reportedly wrote that he would go to certain theaters and wait outside to find people who went to see this movie and apologize for Joe Pesci and hand them their money back.
What?
This guy, supposedly,
he had what to do with this movie?
He had nothing to do with this movie, but he wrote in his book that he was so like he felt so bad that he would give people leaving the theater their money back.
Where was he getting the money?
Then? I don't know.
And he just apologized for Joe Pesci?
Primarily. He specified Joe Pesci, but I don't know. Again, this was written in his book. I don't know if he actually did this, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
Who did the illustrations for his book?
I don't
what? I hope it's Richard Scarry.
Scary dick running around.
To end this on a very sad note, this movie was in memory of Janet Welder, who was a stunt woman who died during the filming of this movie.
Oh, yeah. I read about that.
Yeah, because during their little boat stunt there, it apparently went very wrong. When she was killed, her husband and his father were both injured. Were both also stuntmen. So, yeah.
Yeah, somebody died to make this film.
Yep.
That is sad.
Abrams, you've got blood on your hands.
Speaking of sad.
Holy crap.
Does anyone want to guess at the budget this movie has?
Oh. Sadly, I looked by accident. I know on this one.
Well, I don't think there's any point in the
round. It's just Rob guessing.
So would you like to tell him?
$60 million.
It can't possibly have made that back.
It did. It didn't even come close.
Would you like to tell him how much it made?
I believe it was $15 million.
Yes, okay. That sounds
good. My numbers were a little different than that, but close enough.
What did you spend $60 million on? I mean, was it just Joe Pesci and Danny Glover?
Yeah, blowing up boats.
I mean, I guess, you know, you had to make a payment to the family and, you know, pay for the restitution.
Yeah.
That probably wasn't cheap. Oh, man. Like, yeah, I don't know. Burned a hotel down, maybe?
And just to, again, bring this back to perspective, I do believe it was, if I remember correctly here, Jurassic Park's budget was $65 million.
Something in that area.
And Jurassic Park 2 Lost World was like 73, I think.
Okay.
So, not that, ultimately, I mean, a good deal more, but you're getting a good deal more.
Yeah.
So...
because you're not getting a goddamn thing from this movie.
A hand puppet alligator. And
speaking of, let's start talking about this movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So yeah. Where do we want to start?
Well, we open with Danny Glover and Joe. Joe and Gus are their names. I don't know why Joe gets to keep his name. Danny Glover has changed his name. But Joe and Gus are little kids. They hang out together, the bestest friends. They're fishing in a sewage dump.
Somewhere,
yeah. As far as I can tell.
Somewhere in Newark, I'm guessing.
It doesn't look like you're going to catch any fish where they're fishing.
No.
Maybe like that three-eyed fish from The Simpsons.
But what they do catch is, I guess, Joe steals one of his dad's cigars and lights it up. And I guess there's gases coming out of the sewage.
There's just crude oil leaking out of it or something.
Yeah, whatever.
I also want to note that he says something about a cigar so fine it had to be rolled on the honey's thighs in Cuba or something.
Yeah, rolled on the thighs of Cuban honeys.
Jesus.
So, whatever. he lights his thing, and then the two of them they're responsible for like the summoning of Gozer.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, they just toss the cigar into the pipe. It just travels up and it blows up this power plant, I guess.
Destroys the power plant. So,
probably shuts kills
the power
millions.
For the whole city. And that's pretty much it for their childhood story.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I guess it kind of says it all. Like, they're talking about previous experiences and how they went poorly the previous summer and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And that's...
we see, obviously, this summer didn't work out too well for them.
That's where they come up with their little catchphrase. Of, 10 plus, borderline, Leben. And you just want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You really do.
Well, and the two of them look like they want to kill themselves.
They do.
Well, also, yeah, I want to stop you right there. I feel they more properly say borderline 11 as children than when they see them as adults.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be leaning into that Leben, like...
Well, the kid from Cop and a Half was really showing off his acting chops. Mm-hmm. And
had to do something.
All right. So now we cut to them being at least physically older. And
it's with a construction site, right?
Yep. Yeah. They're just...
Gus is at work and he drops...
like a shipping crate.
Yeah.
Or something.
On something. I couldn't even tell what that was he dropped it on.
Probably an extra.
Probably. No, I think that was like, what the hell's the word? Like a trailer or something that the manager, the foreman, whatever was working out of, I would guess. Okay. I don't know if the foreman was in it at the time or not.
No, because the foreman's just upset. Like, Gus.
Yeah, like this happens every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you letting this man operate the crane?
Ugh.
And this is why already my notes are, how many people have you killed? Because between the power plant and this, I'm guessing they have like a trail of bodies behind them.
Yeah.
This is also, it helps my theory because we see soon after that, or we're hearing rather, their wives are talking to their kids about how apparently they got into a fight because somebody at school was calling their parents jerks.
I couldn't possibly care. Like, the whole family dynamic is just awful. Like, it's just a bunch of screaming, horrible human flesh piles. And it's just, I couldn't concentrate on what was happening. I just wanted to die.
Well, like I said when I showed up, like, these are the people when you're at work, when they come in the store, you're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not intentionally going to do anything bad, but they're going to annoy the shit out of you, knock something over. you'll make a mess you have to clean up.
Yeah, and like I think we've said before, this always happens like 3 minutes before you're trying to close up.
Yeah, and they're probably someone that comes in every day to buy like 2 items.
Yeah.
Most likely because they just want someone to talk to.
Yeah, and then they're going to follow you around and talk to you forever.
Yeah. Yes. But they're all talking loudly.
Yeah.
They're just screaming at each other.
And every line is preceded by a, hey, Gus, or hey, Joe.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joe Pesci is doing this voice, like this weird speech impediment thing. And it's just awful.
Hey, Gus, what are you going to do? What are we going to do today, Gus?
Yeah.
And you just like.
Yeah.
There's a line in Tropic Thunder that sums this up really well.
No, see, like.
You never go.
Yeah. No.
Well, that's the thing. They're not really full.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's unpleasant.
They sent out the casting call of the Special Olympics. I don't.
Well, it's like, are they special? Were they drug addicts?
That's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Did like their mom just smoke while she was pregnant? Like.
Who knows? Yeah. Like, judging by where they were fishing, I'm guessing is you're looking at something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Pesci looks and acts like he just got out of, like, you know, out of a long bout with meth.
And this is friggin' Joe Pesci.
It is.
Like, Danny Glover has killed a predator, you know, and survived Mel Gibson's crazy ass for 4 movies. And Joe Pesci has done all manner of unspeakable things to people by this point.
And survived Mel Gibson Mel Gibson. Is it one movie or two? Yeah.
And you're just like, come on. Like,
why?
Yeah.
Why are we watching? So
you do that flying dive tackle on a dude in My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah. So their whole thing is they plan a fishing trip every year, the week of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I guess understand why they choose it the week of Thanksgiving.
Maybe they get it off from work. I don't know.
I guess because their wives are all upset. They're like, you know, you do this every year.
You always fuck up.
Something always happens and you're never home for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. If you're not home this year, we're going to kill you.
Which, yeah, I also like it's it was fair. Because last year you got lost or something, and the year before that you were in jail? Again, how many people have they killed? I want to know.
And
Yeah, we also get a quick thing, which just because this is weird, but Joe Pesci's wife says, I want to tell you something. So then we cut to a scene of them watching a fishing show.
With Willie Nelson.
Yep. You know, world acclaimed sport fisherman, Willie Nelson.
Was he? He was Billy Catchpool.
Yeah.
And then they're doing this whole, like, flick and dip or something? Or
flick and dip.
Flick
and
dip.
And a switch.
Yeah, and I'm the whole time I'm just thinking of Harry Potter with the
switch. Yeah.
Now, technically, this was first. But
technically.
Yeah.
I was
technically,
just thinking,
this is not a movie.
Willie Nelson kind of looking like a pizza left in a chicken coop.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Now we get in the car, right? We're going fishing.
Yeah. Yes, and we finally get the credits.
Yeah.
Which I think this is one of the most telling parts of this movie, because it took this long to get the fucking credits up there, and we're going to take this long to get anything done.
Yeah, and you just get a long drive and montage. That's not quite Birdemic levels, but it's giving me flashbacks.
Well, yeah, except the problem with this is that you're watching them drive all this time, but they're also talking in the most obnoxious way possible.
We're worried about alligators and all that. I'm worried about how much time is left.
Dude, I checked the timestamp in the first 5 minutes of the movie. I was
Before I even started, I'm like, how many minutes is this?
That's too many. Yeah, there's more fake animal facts in this about alligators than there were about anacondas in Anaconda. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I'm already bored. We go to a restaurant.
Oh, God, yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what they're talking about, what food they want to order or something. I don't know.
They have a weird, like, so they each order an entree and then they like give each other the
It's just
sides. They swap sides.
This is kind of, I mean, perhaps this is to their credit, dare I say, but this is kind of like if you had that, you know, funny uncle and you went on a fishing trip with him, this is probably everything you would get from that.
Yeah.
Where he's just, he's got nothing to say. He's reading National Geographic at one point telling you about animals, even though whatever, it's probably true. Fox News, because yeah, none of it's true. But there, you're sitting down at a diner, you're talking about what you want to eat, and he's like, well, if you order that, I can eat your carrots, and fucking, I don't care.
Yeah.
Fucking why? I mean, all
right, it does a good job of establishing how their friendship works, but it doesn't do anything else. We're not moving the plot forward. We're not foreshadowing anything. We're not doing anything. We're just sitting in a diner.
Yep.
Until this guy, Martin, shows up. And
technically, we're also, all the while, we are foreshadowing everything, because guess what? Alligators are going to come up later.
Mm.
And everything, when you see it, is like, you know, oh, here's that glass vase that, you know, my wife wanted so much. I hope it doesn't break. Like, that's a big part of this movie. Yeah.
All right. Like I said, I couldn't even remember what they were talking about.
It doesn't matter.
So, nonsense for this.
This guy's just like, oh, I'm taking your car keys. Taking your car.
Yeah.
They don't really notice. Fucking launches their boat back into the restaurant.
Yeah, this
I don't even know what the hell that's about.
This swarthy gentleman, totally sitting behind the two, turns around, he's like, hey, I love fishing. Is that a fishing lure? He notices a fishing lure on Pesci's car keys. He's like, can I look at it? My dad invented these lures or some nonsense. Yeah. And so Pesci's like, yeah. And then, yeah. So he's just chatting them up. And meanwhile, he's like slipping the keys into his pocket. And then he steals Pesci's car. And as he's pulling out, he like turns the car, which sends the boat flying into the restaurant.
Craning this, right through the window.
This man is the dangerous rogue, Decker Massey, played by Nick Brimble.
Nick Brimble, there you go. Mm-hmm. So that is one establishment destroyed.
Yep.
Let's say 10 injuries? Want to chalk up 10?
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah.
This one, from what I could tell, you see most of it, so I'm guessing minor injuries.
Yeah. But just
maybe one trip to the hospital and a few others get some scrapes.
Or at least, you know, the ambulance shows up and EMT checks you out before you leave, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll say 10.
All right.
One building, 10 people.
So we're just counting adults. Oh, we're counting just the trip, right? We're just not counting the power plant in the beginning.
Just not the power plant. We're just counting the trip.
All right. And the cargo container, we're not counting either, right? So talking like when they went fishing.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Let's count the cargo
container. I think we're not counting the cargo container because we're not sure whether or not there were people in that trailer.
Yeah, it's not clear what happened with the cargo container.
All right. So
it's not Batman versus Superman bad where they clearly state that it happened to be an abandoned portion of the trailer district or whatever.
All right. But yeah. So we're doing.
We don't see anyone in there either.
Property damage / personal injury. Okay. So right now we're at 2 for property damage, and we'll say 10 for personal injury.
All right.
Sure. All right.
Okay.
All right. So now we meet two ladies driving in, or I'm sorry, they show up at the bar, played by Rosanna Arquette and Lynn Whitfield. They're Rita and Angie.
Yeah. Who's who?
Huh? Is it?
Which one is which?
Rosanna Arquette's the blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would be Rita.
Okay.
And actually, their names do not matter because for the rest of this movie, they will be referred to as the babes.
Yep.
The
babes.
That's right. It.
And that's really all they're there for.
I honestly don't even remember hearing their names in the movie. They keep going, the babes.
I don't remember
the babes are here.
Any dialogue from this movie.
No, I remember when they're pulling their boat along in the next scene, Joe Pesci proclaims, I got memories of that car I can't even remember.
Yeah, you're right there. But the majority of the dialogue in this film is just like rambling or screeching or just again, yelling. Yeah, like,
it's just rambling nonsense. And like, even if there are jokes in there, they're not delivered as such and they're not funny. So you can't even tell if they're supposed to be jokes.
Oh, okay. Again, it's like that customer you deal with at work that you know what they're looking for from like the first few words they say, but then they go to say like 50 more words at least. And you're like, yeah, I know what you want. Like,
they can't trust you.
Yeah, they just keep talking. And so you know how, like, when that's happening, you're not listening to anything they say. You're just getting mad because you're like, you don't need to keep talking right now.
You
have
that round bread thing with the saw? Do you mean a pizza? No, and it's got the cheese on it, and sometimes pepperoni. Like, do you mean a pizza? No, like, and it's got sometimes anchovies.
It's like I ate it last week, like last Tuesday, maybe, around 7. It's like, that's not information that helps at all.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So.
Oh, God.
The girls are told at the bar that, because they're looking for this sleazy guy, too.
Yep. Yeah, they come in, they have a picture of him. They're hot on his trail.
So they're told to find Pesci and Glover. And they're like, you'll find them out there.
Sure enough. These two assholes are just pushing a trailer. These
two idiots. They're pushing the boat trailer and they're talking about, what are they talking about? Like time travel?
Yeah. And they're talking about how things could be so much worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're talking about if they go back in time.
Yeah.
How it would be. And I'm like, don't.
Well, I mean, if you go back in time a million years, you won't even have a boat.
That's true. Yeah. Go back in time 300 years and
never
mind.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay.
I hate myself.
Also, did it bother anyone else that they specifically showed they were pushing this next to like a river or a lake of some kind?
Yeah, you think they could just put it in there?
I don't know.
Did it bother anybody else that their boat's name was Jogus?
Yes, it did.
As in, Joe Gus, buy us a cup of coffee.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just about to say, I bought this thing from the Joe Bias Industries. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
My brain was so melted by this point. I saw the name of the boat, and I just thought it was Jogus.
Jogus.
I was like, and my brain just honestly thought, oh, that's a dumb name. I didn't get it. I did not get that joke. Like every other joke in this movie.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, is this a joke?
Even now I feel dumb because that was kind of an obvious one. That one had visual aids.
Well, true, but...
All right. So now, the chicks pick them up, tie their boat onto their car. They got like an El Camino, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then they're driving in that, and like, Joe's regaling them with the story of Gus's sleepwalking and how it ruined his football career. Slept, walked to 7-Eleven and got hit by a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Because that won't come into play for anything later.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because when he eats red meat, he
sleepwalks.
Commits sleep arsony.
Among other things. That's when the real murder starts. Anyway.
Yeah, so apparently, even though these two are supposedly accomplished fishermen, Danny Glover believes that tying a boat to a car is done by simply wrapping the rope around the trailer hitch.
Yeah.
And not tying it off in any way, shape, or form.
Shouldn't the trailer hitch actually have, like, the ball that goes over?
You'd think. You would think.
Who knows?
The ladies take off.
Also, just to throw this in here.
Oh, sex eyes?
Shall I remind you? Yeah. These two are married with kids. Kids that look like they're in their teens.
Mm. You could still give the killer looks.
Apparently not.
Trust me, it wasn't going to work on those ladies.
Yeah,
any chance of anything happening with that was immediately quashed.
But I think you want to say your line?
What was my line?
Well, I think you pointed out nicely of like those were killer looks because they definitely look like killers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're like, hey, guys, let's come to killer looks. You know, like
Danny Glover looks kind of stoned, but Joe Pesci is... He's trying to do like a duck face at one point. Like,
He's giving him blue steel.
Yeah, Danny Glover kind of looked like he just got done with a dentist. It just had no control over his lower half of his face.
But they're even like kicking their feet around, like, we're with babes.
You see the babes? Come on, guys, it's babes.
They want us. It's awesome. I don't know what voice I'm doing now. Or why. But anyway.
So remember to flick and dip, gosh.
Oh, no. We're going to lose the beer. Got to jump in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Got to jump in the trailer. Save the beer. Yeah, so that way they hit a pothole and the beer jostles slightly.
Yep.
Jump
in the trailer.
It launches in the air, but it all seems to land right back in the boat.
Lands safely in the boat. Yeah, so... I guess.
It's just an excuse to get them on the boat so that when the thing comes untied, they can go riding off on this boat.
They go on a whimsical adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, of course, this is where the road just happens to part. So they go one way, the babes go off in another.
And we're led to believe this trailer has, what, three, a wheel in the front?
Yes.
I guess, yeah.
Trailers?
Yeah, that's a maybe thing that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They often, well,
I'll give it to him on
this. Yeah, I will. We could get into this argument. Judging from what we see of it later on and so on, I believe it's designed so there is a small wheel. It would not work in this fashion. They would be leaning forward and be awkward, and it wouldn't go the way the movie says. Something
that, like, you fold up after you attach the trailer.
That could be, maybe, as well.
So also, it shouldn't be deployed at this point.
Yeah. In whatever case, the boat and trailer go rolling for.
Oh yeah.
Couple of miles, it seems. Yeah.
Until they decide to enter Toontown and use an anchor to stop themselves.
Yeah, just throw the anchor at nothing.
Just like Speed 2 Cruise Control. Yeah.
But no, like, they throw the anchor out. Yep. It just lands on the pavement. It's dragging behind him, doing nothing. And then out of nowhere, just launches like a 3 feet off into the side, grabs a telephone pole, and whips them around.
Yep.
Oh,
God. Yeah, this anchor's like magnetic or something.
Yeah, it really is. Just
grabs onto that train.
Yep.
Somehow.
So they land on a train track. Can't get off of there because the boat is anchored to this.
They're trying to push it, but it's anchored.
Right.
Yeah. So instead of pulling it towards the anchor, God.
So they get the anchor removed from the pole. As the train is passing, the anchor just attaches itself to the back of the train.
I think the boat is just like, fuck you two idiots, I'm out.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right. I think it just hitched a ride on that train.
Yeah.
I'm out. Just
taking a hobo rail.
And that's all you ever see of that.
Yeah.
That's the end of their boat.
They're gone.
So now they have nothing.
Bye, Jagus. What the hell happens now?
Well, no, you'd think they're just screwed, but no, they just, again, start bickering at each other or whatever as they walk along the road until some guys just stop by and say, hey, where are you headed? Get in the car.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You want to go fishing? We'll go fishing.
Yeah, why not? Fucking whatever. God damn it.
Yeah.
So they make new friends. And they seem to be having a great time. They're all going to go out on the boat and do some fishing when he sees his car. Joe Pesci sees his car.
Oh, at a gas station.
Yep. At a gas station.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they stop here.
Oh, yeah. So Joe Pesci's like, I'm going to get this guy. He stole my car. It was ruined the trip.
I was like, it's about to get good. Because, Joe Pesci finds a crowbar. And he's like, I'm going to teach this guy a lesson.
Yeah. And I'm picturing something that would be out of, like, Goodfellas or Casino.
Yep.
Like, he's going to get, medieval on this guy. It's the worst Joe Pesci attack ever.
Yeah, you're mentioning like Goodfellas and stuff, but like he did more ass kicking in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Like I said, he did that dive tackle thing, whatever that was. Something. Do something. Be Joe Pesci.
Yeah, so he goes to like climb on top of the stall that this guy's taking a dump in.
Yeah.
And he sees that he is indeed loading and cocking a firearm. So he's like, I gotta get out of here. But he catches the crowbar on a pipe and just flops around.
Yep.
Just flops around.
Yep. It's flopping like a fish.
Yeah. That's it. Sprays some water everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Runs away.
Well, runs away back to his car.
Yep.
Him and Gus jump in. They start to drive away when the guy alerts them that they have, I think he didn't mention this, but I'm sure the fact that they hadn't paid yet.
Yep.
Probably an issue. But he's still pumping gas.
Yeah,
there's an attendant.
So they
throws a cigar now, right?
Yeah, he just throws a cigar at him. Yep. That dude sets on fire. Mm-hmm. Where's your list?
Yeah.
Chalk that up.
Yeah, yeah. So
possible murder?
That's a destroyed bathroom.
That's three for property damage.
Yeah. Then
to their credit, they set half the place on fire and the other half on water, so maybe they cancel each other out.
Well, I don't know if the gas pumps caught on fire, but that dude, like, he's burned.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's dead. He's immolated.
Well, we don't really... They drive away, so we don't know the full extent of the damage.
The guy did get away from the immediate flames, but he's at least... It's at least a trip to the hospital.
Personal injury, at least one more. Yeah,
at least one more.
Yeah, all we know for sure is that, like, a bunch of fire trucks and ambulances come whizzing past.
And now this restaurant and this gas station have also probably cost them a good day of business.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. That's I'm not accounting for
lost opportunity costs, shall we say.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing pain and suffering. We're just doing...
Leave that to the real insurance business.
Yeah. Counting heads. And destroyed buildings.
So they're like, oh, check out this new scaling knife we found. Which is something that, like, Rambo might consider too much.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it looks like it has blood on it. Huh. Let's use it to scale our fish that we catch.
Perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
You do that. Mm-hmm.
Which also just, you know, let's not forget, it's this knife that happens to be in his car now from the guy who stole it from him.
That had a gun.
I'm sure there's nothing suspicious about that.
Right. And, So we finally end up, they're in Florida, and they're going to stay at this place called Glory something.
Glory Glades?
Glory Glades.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like a fishing hotel, or I don't even know.
It's a fishing trail park.
Yeah, okay. So they show up at the at this trailer park, and the most disgusting human being I've ever seen.
Honestly, like, if I saw this dude, I would have just kept driving. I at least would have circled around again just to make sure that that wasn't the guy that I needed to talk to.
No, Joe, I gotta say, it reminded me a little bit of you if you got lost in the woods for about 100 years.
Yeah, no, would you stop and talk to me? No, not wearing a shirt.
Barely talk to you now.
Yeah. I would totally understand if you just kept on driving if I looked like that.
So this dude's like,
he's kind of like one of the guys from the new Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, mixed with
yeah, so they pull up, he's like, punches Joe in the face, is like, welcome to the family, son.
Yeah.
So they pull up, it's just this horrible trailer park, and they're like, hey, where's the hotel? And so this guy's like, where now? You see Hurricane Andrew and Cow?
To be fair, well, besides the cartoonist special effects and everything, I thought he was one of the better parts of this movie. Because this guy is just like, yeah, that place is gone. Like, we got this trailer here you might want. And I was like, do you have anything else? Like, everything else is worse than that, so I don't think you want that.
I'll say he did look kind of authentic, though. He looked like a man they just found
probably
at the trailer park. He's like, yeah, I'll be in your movie.
He looked like a real Floridian.
Mm-hmm. He did. But I also like later on, later on, he's solving like a crossword puzzle with like showing that he's smart. And you missed that?
Mm-hmm. I guess I did.
Yeah.
Like, that was the closest thing to a real joke I got out of this. Besides another part we'll get to. All right. Whatever. This guy's grimy, but he's like, if you want to stay in that trailer, you can stay in that trailer. So they do that. And they leave the next morning. I don't think anything really happens here, right?
Oh, no. You get to watch these two fail at Jeopardy.
Oh, right.
Just stare blankly at the screen. not accomplish anything.
He doesn't actually do the crossword puzzles. He just fills in all the boxes with the names of the ladies he's killed.
Mm-hmm. No, but this is also where they find out about Decker Massey.
Right.
They see him on TV, and that there's $100,000 reward for evidence.
This country's criminals, I think it was.
Got $60 million, couldn't even get goddamn Robert Stack.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
Like, he's...
Wait, was Robert Stack dead by 97?
No, I don't think so.
I gotta Google it.
All right.
Maybe. But still, like, not even like unsolved crime stories or something, you know, something. But we get this really lame bit.
Okay. 2003 passed away.
Oh, so he's still alive. All right. He's supposed to be some Black Widow killer. He's been going around, he's wooing women, marries them, steals their money, and the last one he dealt with, he murdered.
Yeah.
Stabbed her a bunch.
To be fair, it is Robert Stack. He may have just said no.
Yeah.
You know I can read, right?
No, I'm not going to be in your movie. I already did that stupid Transformers film.
You know what? To my set again, trying to pitch this movie. Says, you're going to end up on my show.
You know, it's not an unsolved mystery. Why would turn this shit down?
I deem this untouchable.
So,
Robert Stack jokes.
So they're like
Robert Stack jokes, everybody.
It's we're wishing for Robert Stack jokes.
It's what the audience here really wants.
This is where we are.
That now would be better than what we have. It's fucking Robert Stack jokes. Yeah. So
better they're like, than Strawberry Grouper.
So we're gonna get rich. We're celebrating! Yay! We get a guitar somehow. Play a song.
Yeah. What? All
right. So you know what we should do before we even get the reward money? We should start spending money. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's perfect.
Buy a boat.
Let's go buy a boat.
Mm-hmm. Again, and sadly, this is the only other part that kind of got a laugh out of me. Not even like a real laugh, but kind of a laugh, which was they're checking out these high-class boats, and Gus is looking inside and checking everything out, and Joe's like, yeah, let me see. And like he's just kind of hanging off the side of it, not able to reach the window. That's kind of funny.
There's one part coming up that got a legit laugh from me. It's a while away, though.
Okay.
But yeah, like, they're the salesman's pitching them, you know, this boat that he wants them to buy, the Ranger.
Yeah.
And Joe's just walking around whistling and just hits a switch. Yep. Just because. Just hits a button, I'm pushing it.
Dude! Yeah. What the hell? And not only that, there was like a klaxon that went off when he hit this damn thing.
They dropped a freaking boat in the water.
And I'm like, nobody says anything.
Nobody noticed. Nobody saw it. Nobody heard it.
Not only that, he just hit it. It's not like he bumped it accidentally. Yeah. He saw it and he slaps it.
Yeah.
Also, by the way,
I'm putting another notch in the property damage.
Yeah. I mean, even if that boat survived the fall, which I think it did, something on there broke.
It did, but that's
and someone's day's ruined.
But that's the other thing. Like, I thought this, again, with everything else in this, I guess I should have known, because it's 50-50 with if any of this is going to matter. Mm-hmm. But I thought this was going to come up again, like, towards the end, when they're like, well, now we don't have a boat, we don't have anything. And this thing was going to come floating along and then be like, oh, sweet, we got a boat. Or something, but no, it just amounts to nothing.
You
just
cannot invoke the rules of Chekhov's gun in this movie. Just
and they do.
You're not laughing at this. Sort of. You're just like, this guy sucks.
Well, they're not jokes.
Yeah,
it's just awful things that happen.
So the salesman, like, I'm going to take the porn route to sell this boat.
Which, well, he calls it a nudie photo.
Yeah,
it does. It's of a woman in a bikini.
He shows him a picture of a clothed woman on a boat, and I'm like, what nudie? Which nude? The boat is not. Is the boat is naked? What?
Yeah,
I don't think the boat was wearing anything. So
I guess.
I mean, I'm sure if you look hard enough, there's Rule 34 on boats.
Well, here's the funny thing: because of the way that was shot,
Tommy the tugboat.
Yeah.
Let's not even
Google it.
Please don't. No, but the way the photo was shot, I actually thought for a moment, like, was she wearing a bikini? Because she had the bar of the boat around the safety bar, whatever it would be.
Mm-hmm. You saw this way too well for something that was literally on screen for like 2 seconds.
I just as Brian will tell you, when there's boobies around, I'm alert.
Yeah.
The bar of this boat was like right across her chest. So I thought maybe she was actually topless and this was covering her. But no, she's just wearing a bikini.
Yeah.
He just calls it a nudie photo for no reason.
Yeah. He's like, here's my sister. She's hot by the boat. That's it. And it works.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Wait, his sister?
He said that was his sister. Yeah,
no,
that was his salesman.
Assistant.
Assistant.
I think that was his sister, though. Was his assistant. I don't know. Either way.
What?
I heard sister. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just assistant.
Joe's,
I don't know.
Joe's been watching too much Game of Thrones.
Either way, it doesn't matter. The guy's just like, all right, here's a picture of an attractive lady. Here is an attractive lady by the boat.
Attractive lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. She was a very attractive lady.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah.
I
could have done without those jeans. They were a little
90s.
Could have done without those jeans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Gush. Yeah. Got a hard on, Gush. Look at my erection.
You guys want to give her your killer face?
They do.
They do.
Give her the killer
look. They sure do.
They did, yeah. All right, so clearly...
And again, they get the, are you guys okay? It's also sort of amusing.
Clearly neither of these guys
I got Bell's palsy, gosh.
So clearly either of these guys never played D&D, because you never pick Ranger as a class. So the Ranger boat immediately breaks down.
Wow, nerd joke. All right. Yeah, yeah, but it does.
What do you expect here?
Yeah.
All right, so they are talked into buying this fishing, luxury fishing boat. I believe it was 810 payments of easy payments. $39.99 each.
Yeah.
So roughly 810 payments of $80.
Again, I say, I want 14 easy payments and one really hard payment.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry
for that. Yeah, so before they have any money is what I'm trying to say. They're
And
they're like, we'll just take this bloody knife with us on the boat.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we got to scale fish with it.
Well, now their plan is to take the knife to the police and hand it in as evidence.
For the reward money.
What's funny, though, is they were probably going to scale fish with it first.
Probably.
And just totally ruin the evidence.
Definitely. And they got all of their prints on it. And probably had it in their mouths for some period of time.
Probably at some point.
Yeah.
Pick their teeth with it. But yeah, even if they weren't planning to scale the fish, like, yeah, why would you bring this on the boat with you?
Like, just leave it lying, like, right where it could
fall. Actually, for that matter, they must have, like, before they were even planning to buy this boat, they must have just thought, like, let's go boat shopping and bring the knife with us.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is happening?
All right.
Oh,
so, like, one of their asses bumps into the throttle and immediately breaks off.
Breaks both levers. Now,
I
should get my pen out.
Yep.
Writing.
I can't even tell you how much stuff breaks.
Tally up the property damage. Okay. I can't even go with personal injury because a person actually died filming this. A
real body
count? Yeah, I'm going to put the... So I got the PI for personal injury. I've got an API for actual personal injury, AD, and death.
Yeah, so two hospitalizations and a confirmed kill from this scene.
So I'll draw a little, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, I'll draw a little skull and crossbones here.
Oh.
And two little things. All right, so for personal injury in the film, we'll say 30.
We'll go with 25. How about 25?
Yeah.
But we fuck up a few boats.
Actually, that might be low.
I don't know. I honestly, at this point, I was just like, fuck. And I really didn't pay attention to everything that happened.
Well, it's true. But they start whipping around. They whip through a bunch of boats. This is where you might be lower around 25 or so.
Yeah,
you're knocking into other boats. One boat just is smashed.
Yeah.
One guy just gets dragged along for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. Yeah.
Because that's the thing that we're going to have to do.
He's dead.
He sure is. But there's some injury and whatever, but most of the people seem to survive. They're just pissed. They're chasing after them. This is when they take a turn and go towards the shore.
Yeah.
They make a leap into the boating convention, and I don't even know what kind of damage they do there, because this is...
Oh, yeah, they're knocking boats over on the land.
From what I believe, this is where unfortunately, the actual woman was killed. But even in the context of this movie, I gotta imagine several people were probably killed when they come smashing through. They're knocking other boats down.
Yeah.
They're still going forward. They smash into this podium.
Their boat set up. Totally falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So you put that in the property damage, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And they return it. They return the boat.
Well.
To the salesman.
It doesn't work, but they say they want to return it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where even are we? Oh, and they dropped the knife during this.
Oh, yes, of course. They dropped the knife into the lake.
Yep.
So there just goes their evidence. There goes their money. There goes everything.
All right, so then they're driving away like, oh, that sucked, Gus. And then, like, they just get a flat tire, and Joe stops short on them and, gets a man boob grab in on
what
Gus.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this whole scene is just, like, yeah. They get the flat. They both just go flat at the same time. Like, that's a thing. And, yeah, like you say, he just kind of gropes him for a moment
there. Yeah, and that's not even, like, a man law violation. That's, like, that's a total personal space infraction.
Yeah.
Regardless of the scenario.
If this was your child in the seat next to you, it would still be a little dubious.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
I guess...
as a grown man...
You know what? I mean, that's... I guess they're just friends like that,
yep.
But it's still weird in the context of the film. Like, it's just out of nowhere. It's unnecessary. Yeah. And
it's one of a few points like that throughout this movie.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah.
But they find in the trunk a treasure map.
Written on the back of a placemat.
Yeah, again. What?
Good treasure maps should be.
I mean, I get it because they're not that bright, but like, what are the odds he's not just like, oh, I guess one of my kids is pretty good at drawing. Let's throw that away. Like, why would you just jump to the conclusion that this isn't a real, honest to God treasure map?
So they're like, all right, we don't have the evidence anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Still go to the Rod and Gun Club.
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's
get the presidential suite.
Well, here's the thing. They see and they're like, now we're going to get the treasure.
Yeah.
So now that we don't have this yet, based on this placemat we found.
Here's more money we don't have yet. Let's spend that.
Oh. They freaking... It's like the joke we keep making of their plans literally are step one, you know, we found the blank.
Yep.
Step two is question marks. Step three is profit.
Yep.
It literally is that.
Yep. Absolutely.
So well, like, except with them, step three is step two, and step two is step three. And so it's just like, we're going to spend the money, and then later on we'll get it somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. If we spend the money immediately before we have it, nobody can take it away from us, right, Gus?
I think you're right, Joe.
I don't know why you sound like Huckleberry Hound.
And then, like, so they get the presidential suite. Then they have the critical switch jacket.
Yeah.
At the restaurant scene.
Because it's funny.
You're just watching a big guy and a little guy switch coats.
Yeah, and neither one of them is really that overly crazy sized.
Yeah.
It's just kind of...
You never wanted fat guy in a little coat so much.
Yeah, seriously. Now, imagine John Candy and Rick Moranis doing that.
Yes.
That would have been funny.
That would have been funny. But, anyway. So, yeah, they're getting ready for fancy dinner in this fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I know it's a bad idea, but fuck it. Let's order the strip steak.
Yep.
Yep. I'm getting meat, because fucking whatever.
Why do I care about sleepwalking? I'm not in my own home.
Yeah.
Even though I stab in my sleepwalking, I guess, or...
Yeah, I don't want to possibly hurt my wife when I can murder a whole hotel room full of people.
What happened last time I did this? You know, ruined my football career.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's fine.
Now
that's worth a little steak.
Yeah.
Now just ruin someone else.
Yeah. But this is when the ladies show up.
Yeah, the babes.
Oh, and freaking Joe Pesci orders that wine, and literally every sip he takes, he's just going...
Oh,
yeah.
You could give me a full glass. I'm a grown up. You could.
No, you're not. Yeah. No, you should not have a full glass of wine. You obviously cannot handle yourself.
And swishes it like it was mouthwash.
Ugh, it's just so gross.
So they have dinner.
And the babes show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like, woo, whatever. They go to sleep.
Which, first of all, for no apparent reason, we get a scene where the babes, they bribed the valet and just, like, ransacked their car.
Yeah, they go through the car looking for...
The map. Apparently, somehow, I guess they also knew that he must have made a treasure map.
I don't know if they were looking for the map. I think they were looking for...
Well, you gotta look for the loot in the warrant.
Yeah, they were looking for the loot.
Find the map.
Yeah.
There's a Carmen Sandiego joke.
It took a minute.
Oh God!
It's that I got Look, that.
This movie isn't giving me anything. I gotta. Yeah,
I got the Carmen San Diego joke. I didn't get Joe Gus.
Come on, let's get to the end of this movie. Gumshoes.
I would rather watch that poor kid have to deal with the map of Africa at the end of the show that you knew he had no fucking chance.
Get talked down to by a sassy cartoon.
Yeah, then watch this.
You're never going to catch me.
We also find out here she's not even the babes are following them because one of them, her mother, was involved with this guy.
Yeah.
So it's not even like she was involved with him or her mother was the one that died.
Yeah.
She wants, I don't know, her mother's ring back or whatever. Fucking who knows.
There's no explanation for the other girl that's with her. I guess they're friends.
Yeah, just a friend. Sure. Maybe your lover? I don't know.
Who knows?
Whatever.
Must be something tight to go with her all around, you know, the country or whatever, chasing this dude who's a known dangerous criminal.
Yeah.
Plus, since you gotta suspect there's at least a small chance especially from the way she's talking, there's a small chance she knows that Rosanna Arquette might be planning on killing this dude when she catches him.
Yeah, I mean,
because she keeps saying, like, once we find him, we're gonna call the cops, right? Right?
Right. It's like, unless that El Camino turns into a robot, I don't think we should be doing this.
Does it turn into a robot?
That would be pretty sweet. I want to see El Camino robot. Was there a Transformer that was an El Camino?
I'm sure there was.
Not a legitimate one, probably. Probably an El Camino-esque vehicle.
When he transformed, did he have a mullet?
Yes.
Okay. He must have.
Like, you actually fold down the other piece of hair from the back of his head and deploy his mullet.
He had mud flaps on his butt.
Yeah.
I think I might have to make this now.
There you go.
Right. So we now get them in bed at home. Sorry, not at home. In the hotel, Gus and Joe are sharing a room.
Yep.
Two beds.
Yep.
Which also, this is kind of weird for a presidential suite. But anyway. So
what, that there's two twin size beds in there?
Yeah, but whatever.
They might've been queens or full size. I don't know.
Doesn't either matter. Way, Gus gets up in the middle of the night. He starts using the hair dryer and stuff. And immediately Joe's like, he wakes up. He's like, why are we up so early and whatever? And like, I want to punch him in the face. Like, you know exactly what this is.
Yeah. Right.
You know why this is happening.
You know what I would have done about Joe Pesci? Punch Gus in the face.
Yep.
And I would have just been like, you ran into this in your sleep. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah, whatever. Just knock him out.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Because he's fucking disaster. Like, he's turning on the bathtub. He turns on the fireplace. Knocks the lamp over.
And just sets fire to his bed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He just walks over, lights a match, and just sets it on fire.
Yeah. To be fair, I think the implication was he was trying to start the fire in the fireplace. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he thought turning the gas on here and then walking over there to set it would work. But he's sleepwalking. But yeah, he just sets fire to the bed. Joe Pesci is trying to put it out. He's also getting a phone call about a disturbance about the noise and fucking whatever. So he's running around trying to deal with him, and Gus just leaves. So he's like, I'm going to chase after him, just leaving their room here, a mess. Mm-hmm. Gas is oozing. Yeah, water is leaking out. They left the mat behind. And he just kind of, he's about to walk into the water, Gus is, when Joe is desperately trying to stop him and doesn't really get to. Well, I guess he does. But he does so because the manager of this place goes up to the room, tries to turn the light on, which they knocked over the lamp. It turned the light on, put that little spark, lit the gas that's been leaking out, and just blows up the whole place.
Decimates the entire top floor of the hotel.
So here's where I'm going to overrule the movie, because you see this hotel manager is kind of blackened, a little singed. Like, no, you're
he's dead.
You're done. Like, he's if that dead. Happens.
Yeah.
And are we going to say that the presidential suite is the entire top floor?
No, I think there were other people on that floor.
So let's add a couple more. How many think?
I'm going to say just two, maybe.
Two?
How about
five? Five
sounds good. We'll say maybe not everyone's up there.
Four people and a pet.
Maybe not every. Or wait, yeah. Are we talking injury or full death here?
Oh, just whatever. Either or.
Because I'm thinking maybe only two more died. There's probably a lot more injured. Just for sure.
And that hotel's fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're shut down.
These two just leave.
Yeah. Everybody that was in there is just out on the street now.
Yep.
I don't even know where the babes were. Do we have any info on that? I know he leaves a note for them. I don't know where they are.
I don't know.
Oh.
Because if they were in that hotel, they might not be coming out again.
Yeah. No, because the hotel was booked solid and they had the last room. So they couldn't have been there.
Well, I don't know if they are booked solid.
Yeah, they were told it's
booked solid. Oh, yeah. That's true, yeah. All right, so...
Whatever.
They have the valet bring the car around. They knock him in the water. Yeah. Drive off.
Well, it's easier to knock someone in the water than to give them a tip.
Yeah. So the car breaks down again. You find out in their bickering that Joe has been hit by lightning twice.
Twice.
So at least that explains what his deal is.
Well, yeah, we hear it? Some thunder. Well, we hear some thunder and he goes running into the woods like a field mouse.
I have a feeling God is desperately trying to correct a mistake. Yeah.
Actually, divine interference makes more sense here. Because tall-ass Danny Glover's waving a wrench around and nothing happens to him.
He's being an ass about
it. Tiny Joe Pesci. Tiny Joe Pesci in a ditch holding the wrench for like a second gets hit by lightning somehow.
I want to see Chinese
Joe. No, you don't.
No, you don't want that.
Why
do I imagine the cruelty of Joe Pesci in a lot of his movies with like some Donnie Yen skills.
Well, I wasn't even thinking of that. I'm just thinking of Joe Pesci doing a horribly racist Chinese guy impression. Okay,
that also,
See, I'm picturing a small, wide Chinese woman who just happens to be like Joe Pesci. I don't know why.
Okay.
My head, it's hilarious. Anyway.
Joe grabs the wrench. He gets the quickening. He has the power.
Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Yeah, Raiden, he is definitely not. He just lies down, and he's like, all right, well, I remember the map now.
Yeah.
It jogged his memory, I guess. Whatever.
He remembers the entire map.
So, he goes off.
They go straight into the Florida Everglades.
Yep, right. They got to go to Snickerson's bait shop, I think.
Yeah.
And fan boat rental.
And there's a hole behind it.
Yeah.
Some reason.
With a little flower on it.
So they gotta find Maggie's lair. Whatever that is, they're like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, what could possibly happen?
Yeah.
It's not like we hinted at alligators three times throughout this movie.
No.
So.
This is my favorite scene in the movie.
Just jump into this hole.
Yeah. Just go down the hole. He's like, send Danny Glover first because you're bigger.
Yeah. I want to make sure you fit.
Yeah.
I know I fit. I want to make sure you fit, so you go first.
They just go down the hole, find a case of money, and they're like, all right, let's see what's in here.
They win.
This is going to be awesome. But wait, what's that noise? Oh, shit, it's Maggie.
Big-ass alligator comes up.
So the puppet from the Jaws ride at Universal Studios cranks slowly out of the water.
So what's your take on this scene, Rob? Because I know you're an aficionado of fake animal drama.
This is pretty good.
That's
fake animal drama.
Because I was like, it doesn't get much better than that.
It really doesn't. So this is
clearly not an alligator.
Isn't even the Jaws. This is a taxidermy alligator that they just tossed at him and said,
step above a pool toy.
This alligator puppet is biting this briefcase of money. Yeah. Joe Pesci's like kicking in the balls. Danny Glover's just like, I think Maggie's a girl that ain't got no balls. Wolfman ain't got no nards.
Yeah. And Joe Pesci's like, we'll find out about that.
So Danny Glover is holding this alligator. Yeah. It just got it in a headlock.
Well, and he does it right. He holds the jaws closed and picks it up.
Yeah okay. Just picks up an alligator.
Sure.
Just picks it up.
Like you do.
Because, what's the guy? I mean, it's made out of styrofoam. How much could it possibly weigh?
It's a pool toy.
He's got a lot of added strength. Let's not get into where it was.
And Joe Pesci just starts bare knuckle boxing this thing.
He does a number on it.
You're talking about if he had Donnie Wu.
Yeah.
He totally Ip Mans the stupid alligator puppet.
Punches the shit out of it.
And then Danny Glover throws it and they run away.
Yeah.
Oh.
End of scene.
That I broke down there. That was the stupidest thing I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fairly close, I would say, to Great Outdoors, again, when they shoot the ass off that bear.
Well, I will give them some credit here, but this is like 50-50, because this is... This is partly I'm laughing at it because it's a little amusing, but I'm also largely laughing at it because of how fake and ridiculous
yeah.
it is.
Oh, yeah. So, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, no, in fairness, that alligator should have known better than picking a fight with a guy who's killed a predator. Fucking Joe Pesci.
A guy who sounds like a predator. Yeah.
Well, maybe he was wearing his alligator boots at the time.
A little Joe Pesci predator. Like, you definitely don't want to fight it. But it's a little hard to take it seriously.
Well, you know, that's why he had to get the little disc thing, because everybody, when he had his claws out, everybody just held his forehead and he couldn't reach him.
So he used the disc to take out your shin so you get knocked down his level.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. That's what happened to Gary Busey.
By the way, folks, if you'd like to go over to our website, we are now selling our line of various Joe Pesci's. We've got Chinese Joe Pesci, Prayer Joe Pesci. We'll release another one next week.
They're all just repainted Ninja Turtles figures.
The scene from Goodfellas is like, what, do I amuse you? You laughing at me? You just see the like the triangles on the guy. Okay.
So,
and we get back to Snickerson's.
Yeah. Yep. We're just checking out the treasure, which doesn't look like much. Sure it's supposed to be more
because it's all diamonds.
Yeah. It's like family jewels of some kind.
Mm-hmm. It's 2.0.
I believe it's referred to as heirlooms.
Yep.
Heirlooms. Yep. So Snidely Whiplash is there waiting.
Funny, the movie again. So he shows up.
He's got his piece.
He does. He's waving his gun around on him. He's like, all right, I want you to push your car into the river, which they do. And he's like, I'm going to lead you into this old shack, whatever.
Take you for a fanboat ride.
Bait shop or whatever it was. And I'm going to leave you guys tied up.
Yeah.
Which...
This scene is rough.
First of all, just so much boo on him because, all right, this guy is running a murder beef.
Yeah.
I'm putting a check down a personal injury for the alligator puppet.
Oh, yeah.
Also, just because we kind of skipped over this, because there's a dropped line about how his mentally handicapped brother was involved.
You what?
He's the one that drew the map. Yeah.
So is this a shared universe with the Goonies? Is Sloth his brother?
I don't know. Oh, I told you, I was like, fingers crossed, is Joe Pesci gonna turn out to be the brother at the end? But so anyway, all right, this guy is running a murder beef, right? He's already killed somebody. He's on the run. And these two assholes are causing him all kinds of trouble, and they got in his way, and now they know him, they know his face, they know where he is.
Uh-huh.
Shoot the both of them, toss him back in that hole, let Maggie have him.
Yeah, one's going to come looking for
him. Yeah, they are never going to be found. You can just take your time and walk away.
The guy at Snickerson's isn't going to give a fuck.
Nope. But no, he ties him up, and he's like, yeah, I'm just going to leave you alive because you guys are idiots and whatever, blah, something.
He
rightly points out how sad it is that they have spawned children.
He does say that he's like, people are, just a two-man wrecking team. Like, they've done more damage than he ever did.
Yeah.
And probably killed more people.
He only killed one. Yeah. They've got at least one confirmed real. And who knows how many movie. So here's where Joe Pesci decides he's gonna start talking smack at this guy.
Sort of. You're quick.
Yeah.
Calls him a mean guy. Says he's mean. He spits all over himself.
He just straight up gets choked till he cries.
And then slapped like a bitch.
And you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see that.
Right. And meanwhile, you're like, Danny Glover, I know you could just pick up that whole chair you're sitting on.
You could smash through the wall of that shack. There's nothing there that's standing up to a Danny Glover.
Now imagine if this became like you know, a weird revenge movie at the end for no reason. Like, he shoots Joe Pesci, and he's just like, I'm leaving you attached to him, Danny Glover, and walks away. And now Danny Glover just goes on a rampage.
He could.
Still tied to Joe Pesci.
He could. Yeah. He could just swing him around. Like, yeah. Or he could just, like, he could use his raspy voice to cut through the rope.
See, I thought this would be one of those things where, like, the guy ties a knot, and suddenly they do, like, an idiot savant, like, oh, I know that knot, and they're out.
Right, yeah.
Or something like
Because they talk about the knots when Danny Glover ties the boat to the car.
Again, but 50-50 whether or not that's going to come back. Because that doesn't come back, but what does come back?
Deliverance. Yeah. Well, for one thing.
So, but also Willie Nelson.
Yeah, but let's not. They start talking about Deliverance when they're sitting there.
Yes.
I don't want to squeal like a pig.
I don't want to squeal.
It's PG movie, folks.
Willie Nelson shows up and he's just like, shit. And, you know, they're doing the whole flip and dip thing. And he's just like, I'm done. I'm going.
He shows up and he's like, I'm still in this?
Yeah.
Why? All right, you're untied. Go or something.
You can tell Willie Nelson is baked out of his mind in this scene because he's like, he's wobbling around.
Yeah.
He looks like Jack Sparrow walking in here.
No, I mean, he was literally like, he called the producer. He's like, look, you got me for one scene. When I walk in the door, there better be a joint in my hand.
Yep.
I'll hand it to a guy right before I go on set. There may be another lit one waiting for me when I leave. You get one take and I'm out.
I gotta go be on an episode a month after this. Yes.
And anyone else feel like he was somehow the inspiration for whatever that Chuck Norris movie was where he turns into an eagle and like jumps the tree now? Forest Warrior.
And just grabs a chainsaw with his hand and stops
it. Yeah, sure does.
Classic.
I forgot about that.
Anyway.
No.
So it's not. They get on a fan boat.
They do.
Yep.
Oh, because he drops them off back at Snickerson, so they get another fan boat. Because they see a plane's coming, and they're like, that plane's got to be for him.
Yeah, that's the plane he's looking for. Yeah. So
now we get a 20-minute fan boat scene for no reason at all.
For the second week in a row, we have some asshole trying to get on a float plane.
Yep.
Being chased by a boat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Being pulled off by a fishing rod, basically.
At least last week, it had the decency to be Willem Dafoe.
I guess, instead of...
What was this guy's name?
Brimble?
Yeah, Nick Brimble. So...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they just chase him down with a fan boat.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yep. Yeah.
And then...
Sure deal.
They just knock him down somewhere.
Take the fan boats onto the road for a while, which I didn't think that would work at all.
Yeah, we're riding along the babes at one point.
Do fan boats have wheels or any means to travel on land?
Depending on the pontoons, they could probably go for a little while like a hovercraft.
But it didn't really... It looked like hard...
Yeah,
like I don't think hard shell. Like, it didn't look like it had...
It's not a hovercraft. It's a fan boat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, they put a line into this guy and just pull him off the plane onto the ship. And I could have used just, like, a one-second shot of, like, the camera panning away as the two of them just kick him in the ribs a bunch of times or something. Just something.
I wish.
But gotta be mean.
Yeah.
He's a mean guy.
So, yeah, they're getting the reward money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're on TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody sees how great they are. Hooray.
Yeah, they're like peering in the side of the screen when the news reporter's talking about the heroes that...
Gonna ruin your shot? Can I ruin your shot?
It's a it's a photobomb. And then, so they win $100,000 for the finder's fee.
Capturing this dude, I guess.
Yeah.
Destroying all evidence and... Yeah, all right. Just, ugh.
Fucking Gone Fishing 2, now they're bounty hunters.
Now they're both predators.
Yeah.
Danny Glover has that gun he got from the predators. Joe Pesci is he's just got dreads and a little claw thing.
Hey Gus, I can't see with the thermal vision.
You got your helmet on backwards, Joe.
I'm thinking he's our next version of Joe Pesci we saw, where he's killed Maggie and he's wearing her. So he's like attacking people with the claws. And she's got like the head on.
It's like primal gator.
Joe Pesci.
I brought my bear suit. All right.
So now they're back where they started, by the power plant.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just fishing off this Rocky, whatever.
Yeah.
Find out the $100,000 reward paid for all the damage.
Yeah.
Bought a new car.
I got like $48 left or something.
It's a profit.
Sure. I will say, plus to them, because he says something, out of nowhere. Oh, yeah, we missed the other out of nowhere comment, which is after they blew up the lodge, the waiter is talking to somebody, and he's just like, if you see them again, tell them I love them, and they're beautiful men or something.
Oh, yeah, that waiter. I forgot about that guy.
But anyway, just because I guess we wanted a positive message at the end of this. So he's like, sure. Hey, what I want you to do is stop smoking. So yeah. I'm going to, let me get that cigar.
Last time you blew up a power plant.
His whole movie was an anti-smoking.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, he almost throws it again to blow up this power plant. He's like, hey, did you forget? And I'm like, okay. So they actually, put it out.
Like, look, so his eye. There's nowhere here I could put the cigarette that's not going to light on fire.
Something learned, I guess. But then, when you're just like, oh, it's over now, right? Nope. Is it over now?
Hey, Gus, what about the polar bear club?
Yeah, let's go for a dip. Like, it's too cold. No, but like that polar bear club, it's going to get cold anyway.
You see that pipe over there? It's just dumping sludge into this waterway.
Do you remember how quickly the fire just went up that tube? It's not good stuff in there.
But no, let's pull our pants off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we get to see their underwear. And then we get the reprise of the alligator puppet.
Well, hopefully it finishes them off.
Yeah.
So the water's too cold for them to swim in, but it's fine for an alligator.
You cannot fathom the depth of Maggie's hatred for them.
Yeah.
I guess not. And I mean, it might not even be Maggie. It's in the Jersey waters. Might be a Guyver enemy or something.
Yeah. I'm thinking, surprise, prequel to Lake Placid.
Yeah.
This helps explain he's a little closer to Maine now. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Could be Swamp Thing. Just like, hey. Stay out of my swamps.
Hey, you know what? Whoever, as long as he kills and eats them, I'm good. The movie just kind of peters out. And that's going fishing. All right. So, on RottenTomatoes.com, this got a audience score of 36% somehow, and a critic score of 4%.
That's actually what I expected.
Really? For the audience, too?
No, I thought, because what I looked at this online for a little bit, and some people did say, there were some positive reviews in there.
It's not that surprising.
Yeah.
Especially with the, shall I say, comedies like this, mm-hmm. where, it varies from people to people.
Okay.
But, so that's what they thought. What do you think? Would you recommend this movie, Robert?
No. I don't even know who this movie is for. Maybe I do. This seems like one of those movies that you would buy the DVD for your dad when you didn't know what to get your dad.
My dad likes fishing.
Yes.
He'll like a movie about Joe Pesci and Danny Glover going fishing.
My dad, he likes Spaceballs. This is pretty much the same, right?
This is that bucket movie, right?
Yeah. Is this the bucket list? this is Throw Mama from the Train, right? So no,
it looks like, all right, never mind.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with this. It went by quickly. It seemed to go by quickly.
It moved along.
But we've got a head count injury wise in the movie,
both real and fictional,
of at least 50 people. Property damage of at least 25 pieces of property, and. It's just two awful people in an awful movie for no one. So no.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, basically what Rob said. I mean, who thought this movie was okay to make? What was the pitch? Why did somebody go, you know what? You got a good idea. Let's just put these two assholes on a fishing trip. And we'll make it not that they're special, not that they're drug addicts or anything like that. Maybe to give it some kind of gravitas or something. No, they're just idiots. Just profound generic idiots. Yeah. And I mean, $60 million was wasted on this and someone actually died. And it's sad. It's just sad.
I'm laughing, but it is just, that's just terrible, but it's true. Yeah. Money wasted and lives wasted to make this movie.
Yeah. For what? I mean, don't get me wrong. That scene where they punched the shit out of the alligator is something special.
Yeah, but watch that on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, ignore the rest.
Yeah. There's just nothing else here.
A 5-minute scene does not a movie make.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't even know what to recommend to, you know, replace this, because...
Great Outdoors.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, we'll do The Great Outdoors.
How about this? Anything with Steve Martin that's not based on a cartoon or a brand of insulation.
Why don't you just sit down and think about John Candy and Rick Moranis in a boat?
Just sit down and think.
The smile that will bring to your face will be more smiles than this movie.
You know what? Go read Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to point, well, I'm sorry. So you are not recommending, is that your...
Yeah, you already wrote it down before I even started talking. So yeah you knew.
But, yeah, I'm definitely not recommending this either, so I am going to jump to, as a recommendation, since Rob has stated that this movie cost him 3 books that he's read in his lifetime, go out and read 3 books instead. Just gain some life and some knowledge. Yeah, I can't recommend this. It's not funny. They try to do it PG, which was a bad move. Because you're aiming your jokes at adults, but you're trying to make them simple enough for kids to get, and it just ultimately becomes mush. It's just dull more than anything else. And I personally hate when it's one of those things where someone bumbles their way through stuff. I was never a big fan of that kind of thing. Like, I'm not a Mr. Magoo guy. Like, it's not my cup of tea. But in here, it's not even just bumbling their way through to stop this criminal. It's straight up, they're murdering people in the process. They're causing massive amounts of destruction. They're bad people. They're bad people. And I can't condone it. It's just so bad.
I will say, at least they were held financially responsible. Yes. Yeah. The end of the movie.
Again, some credit where credit is due. Things like that, where the alligator scene, sure, but. Yeah, it's just not a good movie. And plus, ultimately, the thing that really gets me is this came out in 1987. I'd probably be more forgiving. But 1997? There's no excuse for this.
In 1987, they would have done it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at least there's no CGI in this.
There is. It's true. But I mean, like... It's just, this is after Dumb and Dumber. Like, yeah. Someone, this is a poor man's Dumb and Dumber made like several years later on a higher budget, and it killed somebody. Yeah. Like, it's just, what can you say to defend that?
I didn't even think about Dumb and Dumber. Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't look up Dumb and Dumber's budget, but probably better. So, yeah, no, not a recommend. Go watch The Great Outdoors or read 3 books. Yeah, you know what? Go to The Great Outdoors and read 3 books.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
Just sit outside.
And just find an alligator and kick it in the balls.
So, I don't recommend doing that last part.
Please don't do that.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, what do we have next up on the docket here, Joe?
Oh, it's that time to decide what movie we watch next. And that means D20 of Fate. Mm. It's Robert's turn to roll.
No. Get us out of the slump, Rob.
Look happy to be taking on that responsibility.
Crown hangs heavy.
For those of you who don't know, we've been on a streak of terrible movies. We're on, what, like 7 or 8 in a row now?
I don't know. I still stand by Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, yeah. But when that's the highlight.
Yeah, that's the high mark here. That's not a good sign.
Yeah. All right, so there's a list of 20 movies. We're going to roll a 20-sided die.
Make sure I have a list.
Roll of 1 is a critical failure. Means we have to pick from a special list of terrible movies. Roll of 20 means Rob can pick whatever movie he wants.
Which will probably be one of the Jurassic Park films. I don't know.
I'm fine
with that. Haven't decided.
Sure.
All right. Oh, gosh. That's an 8.
That's an 8. But what does 8 bring us?
No.
Oh, no.
You fucked up.
You done goofed.
8 is 1995's Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, my God.
Well, we missed Keanu Reeves with Speed 2 Cruise Control. God. Gotta get him here.
This is not a good way to introduce him to the show.
I've never seen this movie, but from what I understand, it's not a good.
It was stacked against me.
Did you say Bill and Ted?
It was stacked. Bill and Ted was on the list. I didn't get it, though.
That's your go-to Keanu movie?
No, but...
just better ones on the list than that.
I'll whatever. I'll take it.
All right. Well,
again, Lake Placid is our current high mark. Yeah. Bill and Ted is way better.
All right, guys. Join the surviving members next week for the next episode, which will be Johnny Mnemonic.
We'll try and resurrect Brian for that.
I'm going to go volunteer to be a stuntman on the next... this movie.
You're gonna take the nap that this movie made me want.
This movie made me hate cake. All right. So, hey, you guys have any fun fishing trip stories? Email us your favorite fishing trip stories. Ever punched an alligator, John? Email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
Ever film a movie and get seriously injured?
Or killed? That's the number 4am podcast.
Contact us from the netherworld.
That would be awesome.
At gmail.com. We hope to hear from you. We also have Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. You ever just stumble across a button and push it and something went wrong?
Or if you're interested in our line of various Joe Pesci's, contact us.
Also, if somebody could draw Turl and Kurt in a boat, I would really love to see that.
That'd be pretty great. Email us that at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. Get a special shout out, maybe a prize. No promises. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.